If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Orioles win in extras yesterday, 8-4. They end an 8-game losing streak. They're rained out today. We'll play a split doubleheader tomorrow. And joining us now to talk some Orioles baseball, he joins us courtesy of the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. It is Ben McDonald from Masson. And Ben, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. How badly did they need to get that win yesterday, getting out of Milwaukee?
But good afternoon. Always good to be with you guys. Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, obviously you've lost 8 in a row. You're trying to win a ball game, right? And I tell you what, I was impressed with the fight, and the comeback. And what I really liked was the hitting with runners in scoring position. And we know, look, you guys have talked about it. We've all talked about it. The Orioles did a really good job. You know, yesterday got 6 base hits with runners in scoring position, 8 for the series, which is the second most they've had in any series this year. They had 9, the series before against the Nats. So that's one thing that is starting to trend in the right direction for the Orioles. The last two series have been their best of the year, hitting with runners in scoring position. And, yeah, I mean, look, Milwaukee's got a good team. They pressure you up. You guys watch the games, I'm sure, some of them. I mean, they really run. They find a way to pressure you up. It's a tough team to pitch against. It's a pretty average offense with some guys that can really, really go. You know, and they're pitching, even though they've had a lot of injuries, their pitching is solid as well. So good to get out of town with a victory, and hopefully that'll get some momentum coming in here to Boston for this doubleheader tomorrow.
Does Bautista look okay to you mechanically? Like, does he – obviously the velo's down, and we know what he's coming back from, and that's going to be some fits and spells. But I felt like at the end of the last homestand, he looked like he was maybe even more over the top to me, and then the command has kind of failed. But I don't – you know what you're watching way more than me.
Well, no, to your point, his mechanics to me are off. I don't think it's about an arm slot. I think the arm slot to me looks the same, but what's happening is – his body is getting out in front. If you see where all of his misses were the last couple of days, he's missing up above the top of the strike zone, right? He's just high in the zone. And he does want to throw that fastball to the top quadrant of the strike zone, but he wants to obviously be in the strike zone. So his body's out in front a little bit of his arm. His arm's not quite catching up. So, yes, for me, it's a mechanical issue with him right now. But I will say this about Felix. It's tough, man, for a reliever. When you're not getting constant reps and going out there every other day, at least every third day, it's tough to kind of get that mechanical thing going a little bit. But to your point, yes, mechanics are off a little bit. But I do think the more he goes out there, he'll figure that piece of it out.
Ben, what do you see that's off with Yennier Cano?
You know what? That's a great question. I'm watching his stuff. I'm looking at the metrics. It all looks the same. I think it's more about location and command with him. And so it could be a little bit of a mechanical issue with him. But you go back to the homestand, he left that breaking ball. You know, he tried the backdoor breaking ball, left it right in the heart of the plate. It went for a home run. You know, he just hasn't been as sharp. And I remember last year he went through a little bit of a phase where, you know, I don't know if it was quite this bad, but he was off for 2 or 3 outings, you know, and then he kind of figured it out and he got going again. I still like Yennier Cano. I think he's a ground ball guy. And to you guys' point, I think his fastball has been elevated a little bit. He's at his best when he's down at the bottom of the knees, letting that sinker play, creating a lot of ground balls. But I think mechanically he's off a shade right now, and I don't think he's getting the ball quite where he wants to get it right now. But I do like him a lot. I think he's going to be a big piece going forward.
Talking with Ben McDonald, Inside Access here on The Fan. Yesterday, Adley Rutschman had his first game with 2 extra base hits since opening day. Are you confident that Adley can get righted?
Yeah, Yes, I am. I mean, look, I know Adley's taking a lot of heat. I know it's not been great for him, you know, the second half last year and tremendous start this year. And I hate to keep talking about mechanics, you know, but I'm watching Adley at the plate occasionally, and I think his swing mechanics are off a shade. You know, he wanted to kind of flatten his swing a little bit. That was a big discussion this offseason. I still see him dipping a little bit. That front shoulder's coming up. He's swinging at a, you know, a bottom to top a little bit more than probably what he wants to right now. But it was good to see him get to the right side. Get to the right side. He hit the three-run homer. But look, these kids, the only thing I can tell you is I see them every day when I'm here. I watch them when I get to the ballpark 4 hours before the game. I watch them go through all their routines. They're hitting in the cages. They're hitting on the field. All the things they do. It's the same as it's been, you know, the last 4 or 5 years. They're getting after it every day, trying to correct some things. So I know they're working on some things. I know it's not happening as fast as they want it to or we want it to as fans to get going. It's obviously been a very tough year, you know, with Brandon, of course, getting fired and Tony Mancelino taking over now. But I always tell people, look, there's no magic wand and we can wave over this team. It's not a quick fix anywhere. I just don't think that there is. I think it's going to be a fix of keeping and trusting the process, going out there, working your tail off until things turn around and until you get some guys back. And to me, that's been the biggest key. I know people sit back and they go, oh, but everybody's hurt. Everybody's banged up. No, I know that's a part of it, too. You can't make those kind of excuses. But this has been a real issue for the Orioles, the injuries. I think we had 15 guys on the IL at one time and some big-time performers. And that has hurt this club more than anything, in my opinion.
I haven't heard an update on Gary Sanchez, and I'll be honest with you. I haven't really been going out and seeking it out. It was a weird signing to me on a lot of levels. And it looks like he will be out at least for a little while longer. What have you thought of Maverick Hanley? And is he somebody, given the way this season has gone, who's worthy of something of a look-see?
Yeah. I mean, he's going to get a look, you know, and he's getting one now. And look, I can go all the way back to when Maverick Hanley was drafted in 2019. I think it was the same draft that Wesley came out of. And I remember talking to scouts, and I actually had Maverick Hanley in a super regional. Stanford came in and played Mississippi State in Starkville, Mississippi. I saw him his junior year. I saw Kyle Stowers on that team as well that year. And I got to see both of those guys and saw him get drafted by the Orioles. And Maverick Hanley, I'm telling you, all the scouts I talked to at the time said he is as good or better than Adley Rutschman. He threw out more guys his junior year at Stanford than what Adley Rutschman threw out his junior year at Oregon State. So defensively, look, he can catch with anybody. He's a catch and throw. He's a smart kid, chemical engineering degree. Like, he is a rocket scientist. You know what I mean? Like, he knows the game. He'll adapt well defensively. The biggest knock on him, even in college, was, can he hit the ball enough to stick in the big leagues? Can he get that? Was always the knock. And I know, you know, in the minor leagues, you go look at the numbers. The numbers haven't been great in the minors. But this year, he was absolutely burning it up, having clearly his best year in the minors, you know. So, look, it's going to take him a little bit of time to adapt to big league pitching. But, you know, when you talk about a backup catcher, you talk about a guy that typically doesn't hit well but really calls a good game, defends well, throws well, blocks well, and certain Maverick Hanley can do that.
Ben, we know that the season got off to a disastrous start for Charlie Morton, but we've seen the best of him recently. He's going to be back in the starting rotation this weekend at Fenway Park. What do you think about the move, Morton going back into the starting staff?
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, obviously you're paying Charlie to be a starter, and you want him to be a starter. And you mentioned it was a disastrous start for him. There's no two ways around it. You know, just too many walks, too many times behind in the count, leaving balls over the heart of the plate. A real head scratcher for a guy that's got, you know, in his 18th year in the big leagues. And it wasn't like he fell off big time in Atlanta last year. I mean, I went back and looked at the numbers again, you know, 165 innings, a 4.19 ERA, which is big league average, you know, for a starter. He was very serviceable last year. So I don't think anybody saw it, because if you go back and look at spring training was solid for him. Like, it was a solid spring training. And all of a sudden, it kind of went sideways. But I am very, very encouraged lately how he's been throwing the ball. I mean, his last three relief appearances, if I'm not mistaken, it's 9 1/3, only 4 hits. And he's only given up 2 runs. And my biggest number for him in that 9 1/3, he's only walked 2, and he struck out 12. And so I think he's at a part now he's deserving of getting back in that rotation. You need somebody in that rotation, and he has a lot of experience. And so, look, it's time to run him back out there and see what he can do.
Ben, how was the slide?
The slide was good. The slide was a little bit higher, a little bit longer than Old County Stadium, because when I played there with the Brewers many years ago, I had to go down that slide. And so many years later, I had to go do it again. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. And, look, we're trying to have fun. And you know, Ryan O'Hearn said it best when I talked to him the other day. He said, man, this is a, excuse my French, he said, this is a shitty season going on right now. But he said, you know what? He said, I have worked my tail off to get to the big leagues. I've sacrificed a lot. I've busted my butt like a lot of guys in this clubhouse. You know what? He said, I'm going to continue to bust it every day. And he said, I'm going to continue to be pleased about being in the big leagues. It's a blessing. I'm going to keep working my butt off every day until this thing turns around. So I love Ryan O'Hearn. I love his honesty. I love he's a leader, one of the leaders of this team. He's a big part of this team offensively, having a great year. But that kind of sums it up. We're going to continue to have fun and hope this Orioles get this thing turned around, man. The last 4 months of the season is going to be fun.
Ben, you're the best. Thank you as always.
All right, guys. Take care. Thank always you. Good to talk to you.
Have some lobster for us.
I just say
hi to the birds.
I just want to state for the record that just because you say excuse my French, the FCC does not take kindly to what came after, so unfortunately I had to dump that.
It was without skipping a beep, but you can go on the Odyssey app. Yes, you can go back. Ben labels the segment. Ben, if you want to hear
that,
what
might
Ben
be
McDonald's
something to isolate
said.
There. Yeah. And he said that O'Hearn. Wow. O'Hearn said it.
Yeah.
O'Hearn said,
yeah. Excuse my French, though, makes it okay.
That's like the,
that's
Ricky
the excuse
Bobby.
My French line.
I wouldn't like
with all due respect.
I would like to see him tell that same story on Masson tomorrow if they get one of these games.
Yes. Excuse my French.
Because I don't think they have a dump button on Masson.
No, they don't. Well, you would know.
They
you
have
work
to,
there.
Right?
I don't know.
They
I mean,
have
no
to.
One ever taught. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I guess maybe in the truck.
Yeah,
I guess
in the truck.
Somebody
dude,
in the I think FCC.
Somebody in the truck, I guess, does.
TV.
Well, hopefully we find out. Hopefully Ben puts it to the test.
Yes. Coming up
don't
next.
Don't just save that for terrestrial radio.
Yeah, apologies for the dump.
Bring it to the booth.
Go to the Odyssey app if you want to hear what Ben said.
So did they didn't hear anything else he said after that?
I had to dump it.
Oh, no. They just skipped a lot.
I had to dump it. Yeah, just because you say excuse your French doesn't make it okay.
We didn't kick him off and we double dumped.
Yeah. Usually if you double dump, it hangs up.
We bring that out.
That's what happened to Joe Flacco.
We bring it out in people. You don't see it coming.
Yeah, that's interesting. Hey, the Terps have a new AD. His name is Jim Smith. He spoke today. We'll hear from him next.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Great. Well, thanks for the hardball to start with. Fastball to start with. Jeez, we didn't waste much time. So it's, when we were going through the process, Maryland's made the commitment to make the full investment of the $20.5 million or so, depending on what the judge determines, but into their programs, right? And then we have to figure out how we're going to complement that so we can continue to recruit at the highest level. And I think it's a little early to say, hey, I've got this vision. I've got to get in and spend some time with the coaches and with the administrators in the university to say, hey, how do we want to raise the funds that are necessary to compete at the absolute highest level? So I think in the short answer, there's a good plan in place for the short term, and I'm looking to kind of amplify that plan as soon as I get going.
So that's James E. Smith. He is the Barry P. Gossett Director of Athletics for the University of Maryland, introduced to the media today. He comes to Maryland from the Atlanta Braves, where he served as the Senior Vice President of Business Strategy, and it shows a shift. And Maryland's not the first school doing this, but with the new landscape of college athletics, Jason, this is probably the direction you need to go in.
I get good vibes off this guy. I think he understands the moment that he's in at Maryland with where the basketball program in particular is coming from, how his predecessor sort of set things up, some of the inherent mistakes in that. I'm sure he's well aware of some of the back sort of room culture toxicity that's going on there. And I'm sure he also sees this as a bit of a sleeping giant. I think he has an energy about him that was probably lacking. And I think the fact that he comes from completely outside of this Terrapin bubble is a good thing.
Not insular.
Definitely a good thing. And you just like his background because it fits today's college landscape, where, yes, it's a sports background. Yes, he's been with professional teams and collegiate teams, and he has the business blend to it. You have to be able to do it all now. And he said in the presser that 5 years ago, that probably wouldn't have been my kind of gig.
More from Jim Smith speaking today. Why is he a good fit for the job?
So it's an interesting time in college athletics, right? I think if you were to say 4 years ago, this job is different and I'm not the candidate. I think it's just evolved to the point today where it requires someone who understands how a campus operates and can bring in a different experience on how to generate additional revenue that has been in a lot of different areas. So when I was presented the job description, it was very interesting. And so it made me start thinking about what is the University of Maryland trying to accomplish that everybody else isn't. And so I entered the process and I learned very quickly that part of the future of this university and its future success is the gentleman sitting next to me, because you can't have success in athletics without someone who truly believes in athletics. And that's what made it very interesting. So going through the process, I did not know Dr. Pines, but I got to know him, and I feel very confident that we can accomplish big things together here at the University of Maryland.
I think the word that you use, Jason, impressive. Like, and obviously, it's not about winning the press conference. And, you know, the Orioles told us that.
You know, but I think, it's about not losing it.
Yes, but in this case, I think it is, because let's face it, there's been some ugliness here at Maryland with the
optics matter. Yes, now. Yes. This, like, we all saw the last few months there, and like, no, you could, because you're literally trying to get a buy, like you're trying to get buy-in. You're trying to get donors, potential donors, sponsors, potential sponsors. Like, your messaging matters to your consumers and potential consumers. And so, no, you want to seem like you're with it. You want to seem like you're aware of the past, but you're not a slave to it. Like, you want to be bringing in a different energy. You want to be communicating in a different fashion. I think it's very important.
It's also really important to all of the sports teams and the coaches, because you have to have rapport with them, because the last guy certainly did.
Yes, the last guy, yeah. Well, good luck to him at SMU and Villanova.
I mean, it's crazy, though, like, okay, so the Terge thing, which was very weird.
Yes.
And to have the Willard thing, and then to have him gone before Willard, but Willard basically just waiting for a loss to go with him. And those two to have been at each other's throats so soon, considering they did not work together that long. No. Like, that's crazy.
He hired him.
That's what I'm saying. He hired him to get out of the hole choice. That the other guy that he got into, because that was a stupid extension.
Yeah.
And then for those two to be at each other's throats so quickly, and for the players to still generally overachieve to some degree, is, yeah.
By the way, one quick Maryland note before we step out. Sebastian Wilkins will be making his school announcement tomorrow. He's a big recruit who's going to reclassify next year. He's down to Duke in Maryland. So tomorrow.
I thought I already heard that kid's going to Duke.
No, that's
bad information from Sharkey, or that was somebody else.
It's the SAR kid, the foreign kid announced Duke. This kid's announcing tomorrow at 4:30.
Okay.
So for what it's worth, Belway Ben thinks he's going to Duke.
Be a Terp.
Belway Ben.
51-49.
That's close. Okay, that's a little better.
Well, maybe he heard, I was going to press the button like I had to talk to him off air. Yeah. Maybe he heard that press conference and was swayed.
Yes, he's a reclassification.
I mean, supposedly, when you hear that guy talk about raising money, it gets the blood going.
It does.
And then he hears Buzz talking.
Yes.
That's the cherry on top, so I think that combo.
And then he hears the let's get it started with Jason and Ben.
Maybe that's the third. After today, we have Maryland money line.
And then maybe Rocco Lockenfora help managing the baseball team.
Yes,
that might put it over the top.
Yeah. So we will come back to the return of Monkey Business and what is in store for Todd Monken's offense in year 3. We're going to tell you next here on The Fan. Todd Monken is entering his
third year as offensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens. Before we start discussing what this could look like, before the end of the regular season, one Jason Lockenfour asked Monk about past playoff failures.
Not really, unless it's an opponent that we were getting ready to play. Then you might look at, you know, that's a big thing with them, how they play other teams, how they play Lamar. So that comes up with whoever that is. But I can only speak to last year, and we didn't play good enough in the second game. You know, we played good enough in the first game. So just having the second game that we just didn't play well enough, didn't coach well enough, didn't call it good enough. And so try to forget as best I can. That's hard because you're always going to have scars. That's just what you do. That's how you learn. That's how you get better. And but the bottom line is I'm worried about this year and who we play this year. And once we get in and, you know, playing our best football then. And you're right. You do play tougher teams. It doesn't matter in what professional sport you get to the playoffs. I mean, you're seeing the best pitchers in baseball. You're seeing the best defenders in basketball. You're seeing the best teams. So, and we are one of those teams. And we need to be able to do it when it counts. That's for sure.
So Monk obviously did not call the best game against the Chiefs in the AFC title game the year before. Like last year, though, in the playoffs, this was more self-inflicted. And quite frankly, if Mark Andrews does his job, they
probably
might
at least play in a fifth quarter.
Yeah.
See what that looks
yeah.
like.
So what do we think is in store for the Ravens in Munkin's offense year three?
I mean, look, it's difficult to say that they were deficient anywhere because they weren't. I mean, when you lead the league in yards per play on first down, 6.8, a half yard better than anybody in the league, and you lead the league in yards per play on second down, 6.8, also best in the league. And on third down, you average 7 yards per play, again, a half yard better than the next best team. And you're third in the NFL in third down conversions, and you have Lamar and Henry in that backfield do unprecedented things. The red zone was efficient. The deep ball accuracy and the multiplicity of people showing up, making passing receptions of 20 yards or more increased. Bateman had his best season.
Yeah.
Zay continued to grow and evolve. Like, it's hard to quibble. I do wonder if they're working on some fourth down stuff at all. You know, they were only 53% on fourth down. That was 20th in the league. They only went for it on fourth down 15 times, which was third fewest in the league. You know, do they get a little more aggressive there? Does having a rookie kicker, however that works out, lead them to play into the strength of this offense on fourth down rather than lean more into a special teams where those units overall were bad? I mean, yeah, like, can they get Derrick Henry off his feet a little bit more and still be that effective running the ball? Does Derrick Henry show up in the passing game a little bit more? Are Likely and Andrews factors in the same game at the same time? I'm not that worried about that anymore because this offense was so amazing without it, but maybe that's another little way they could continue to grow and evolve.
The further removed we get from the Ravens' last game, and now, crazy enough, it's been 4 months, the more insane it is to see these numbers.
Yes.
When you see what Lamar did, when you see what Derrick Henry did, and when you see what the collective did, you just gave all those numbers. Red zone, 74%.
Crazy.
74% touchdown rate when you're inside the 20. That's crazy. And you really have to nitpick to find areas in which they can improve. One of those areas is definitely penalties, mm-hmm. where they were 30th in offensive penalties per game, third most holding calls against them, second most ineligible men downfield penalties, and that, of course, puts you behind the sticks and makes it a lot more difficult. Now, this offense was so great, they could overcome a lot of yes. that, and despite being 30th in penalties, they still put up all of these numbers. That's one area. And then you look at some of the new toys that Monk has to play with, and what is DeAndre Hopkins at this stage of his career? We all think that is an upgrade over Nelson Aguilar. And then Keaton Mitchell is the other wild card, now being another year removed from that serious knee injury. What can those two guys add to what was already an elite offense?
Yeah, and I mean, at the macro level, to expect them to be better than they were last year. I mean, they did so many historic things last year, and people will adjust.
Could the line be better?
Well, I mean, it could be, but I just don't know that that's going to ultimately lead to higher efficiencies than some of this. But like one thing that I will be keeping an eye on is, are there other things that other units can do to help them more than they did? Like special teams providing better field position and shorter fields, like the defense creating some more turnovers. Yeah. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Like if they're anywhere in the same zip code offensively and key metrics next year as they were last year, then that they're going to be best of breed. If they're as good, then forget about it. If they're somehow better, I have a hard time thinking that's even really worth pondering. But they might get a little more subsidy from some of these other units.
Like, that's the reality when you're just focusing on Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, where there's going to be natural regression for those guys. But that being said, they could still be phenomenal seasons. They had historic seasons last year.
Like, Lamar's going to throw more interceptions
next
year.
It's going to happen.
Hey. Now, he might throw a couple more touchdowns, too, but, like, he's going to throw, like, he's going to turn the ball over more next year.
Well, he could have a worse season and win the MVP because he had his best season last year and didn't win the MVP.
Yes. So, absolutely.
Like, so, like, that's a possibility as well. So, like, things are weird. Excuse my French. But we will come back, get the text of the day. We'll preview tomorrow's show.
Dodge the bullet.
And get you ready for the fresh take.
Yeah.
It's Beltway Ben, Cordell Woodland at 6 here on The Fan. Before we get out of here, coming up at 6 o'clock is the fresh take with Beltway Ben Hall and Cordell Woodland. And Ben, what do you guys have on this evening's program?
Preview the Orioles-Red Sox series. We're going to talk Adley, potentially turning things around a little bit. And then we'll talk some NFL, go around the league. Tush Push is here. Impacts Cordell a little bit more directly, him being a Commanders fan, than it does.
What was that, Frankie Louvu jumping
over? Yeah, that was something.
Yeah, jumping
almost
over
an automatic touchdown.
Yeah. They almost gave that. They said, you do that again, we're giving them a touchdown. I didn't have that on my bingo card.
No.
That's tonight at 6. 6 to
6 to 8.
Yeah, 6 to 8.
Ben's busy. Then he's got Wanna Bet at noon tomorrow.
Yeah.
On my X feed, Twitter feed.
Always,
I guess I'll call
start.
It X now.
No.
Twitter
feed.
My bad. I slept.
No X.
Yeah.
Elon had it all jacked up today.
Yeah, nobody could get on. Oh, well.
Timing is everything.
Let's get the text of the day, Ben.
Check 1, 2, check. Text of the day! Text of the day! Text of the day! Text of the day!
Okay.
Text today is sponsored by Oarsman Automotive, driven by OarsmanCars.com. Your trade is always worth more at Oarsman. Shop their entire inventory now at OarsmanCars.com. Text today comes from Derek in Baltimore, who says, "When does the countdown for the Munkin segment ending start? Definitely think he will get a head coaching gig after this season."
Wow. He put him on the clock before I did. I wasn't even mulling how many.
Which reminds me.
How many monkey businesses do we have left? That is a great question.
We're not even at OTA yet.
That's how bad the Orioles season is, that we're pondering how many monkey businesses are left. It's not even Memorial Day.
I'm not doing that because you were counting it down last year and we got another year of it. So
I was wrong. Well, maybe I should do that because it's like a reverse jinx.
Yeah.
If I do it again, then maybe we'll get to keep him for another year.
He was counting down Corbin Burns on opening day.
Yes.
Spot on with that. So that's a little different than this. Because that was up to him.
Yeah.
This is up to the market.
Well, Monk
can't hire himself, but Monk Burns is a free agent. You knew he was leaving.
Monk will definitely talk over the next couple weeks, right? Before camp?
Maybe one of the OTAs. They do sometimes have coaches available.
Yeah. I feel like
maybe
we'll
if we have
business.
Aloysius request him. Yes. You know, then they'll accommodate
he
Aloysius.
He does have some pull over there. He was the star of the Preakness.
Full disclosure, I got the $50 Lido card today.
I saw Bone hand it to you.
That is astonishing.
He even texted me.
Take back none of the bad things I said about you.
Zero.
Aloysius.
Zero.
I still stand by him.
Did he give you a gift card as well?
No, I did not.
No.
So two-thirds of this room has gotten gift cards.
Well, I got one before.
Okay.
So we've all have gotten one.
Okay.
I'm not sure that Bordy has, though.
No.
I don't think.
Well, as Aloysius says, he's not feeding all 12 of his children.
Well, he could try to feed some of them with some of the $50 that doesn't go into Aloysius's mouth.
How many days do you think a $50 gift card feeds Aloysius?
A week.
Because he orders too much food. Yeah, and he doesn't eat much.
I think it depends on some factors.
I don't even know that affects him much anymore. He's beyond that.
He doesn't eat a lot, but he likes to have a lot of food around. So, Dave, what do we have on tomorrow's show?
Tomorrow's show, we have Jim Duquette on.
Mm.
Ariel Epstein will get our best bets with her. Moke Hamilton will talk about these conference
finals. What's he think of the Knicks?
Yes. And who knows, maybe a surprise or two or four. I don't know. Tune in.
Excuse my French. That is it for us. But do not change the dial because coming up next, it is the Fresh Take. Beltway Ben Hall. It is Cordell Woodland. And it starts at 6 right here on The Fan.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.